There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Tigers versus the Tigers for the title.
They're a good team. We're a good team. Let's battle.
Let's go all in on three. 1, 2, 3.
Hold it. Go Tigers.
Burrow going to launch downfield. Touchdown, LSU.
Now it's 7 apiece.
Higgins is off and running. Banging off people. Touchdown. Wow. LSU takes its first lead tonight.
Clemson's on the ropes right now.
Burrow looking for the kill shot down the field.
Jump ball. Touchdown.
Burrow said, time to fit me for that ring.
LSU sits on the throne of college football.
One team, one heartbeat, baby.
The Battle of the Tigers won by the Bayou Variety. Matt Schick along with Tom Luganville and Emmanuel Acho for this Tuesday edition of College Football Live. Thanks for being with us. LSU defeats Clemson 42-25 in a game that Clemson actually led by 10 points in that second quarter. And then you saw LSU finish the game with a 35-8 run the rest of the way. Emmanuel, what was the biggest key for the LSU Tigers?
Adjusting. That's what it came down to. Brent Venables, he started out with a phenomenal scheme. He took a linebacker out. He inserted Tanner Muse, the usual starting safety at linebacker. LSU was thrown off. But after the third, fourth series, they got back to the run game. Remember, it's not a coincidence the 52-yard touchdown came after Clyde Edwards-Helaire runs over a defensive back. Boom, he runs over Terrell. Nolan Turner, he mans him up eye to eye, makes a big-time chest tackle. But the very next play, Nolan Turner, he should be sitting deep, as you see right there. AJ Terrell's on an island one-on-one. Nolan Turner, get in the pedal. Help your boy out. He's still thinking about the last play. And bang, bang, LSU strikes, and they draw blood. Perfect pass, perfect catch, easy touchdown. So what happened? LSU adjusted, got back to the run game, and got back in the end zone.
Well, Emmanuel, I think the other thing, too, that to me has just been staggering all year long, and it occurred in this game as well, is how many explosive plays of over 30 yards, over 25 yards that LSU was able to attain. We're not talking about high percentage throws here. We're talking about low percentage throws against guys that, for the most part, are pretty well covered. And then you see the short catches get turned into long gains. And that's one thing that Clemson had not struggled with. They hadn't given up a bunch of explosive plays, a bunch of plays over the top. And that, to me, is what stood out as being the difference. Every time you needed a momentum swing, it came as a result of an explosive play.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, he's just so, to Luke's, to your point, Joe Burrow, what makes him so, so special, how accurate he is.
Sure.
Because you can only make these types of big plays, explosive plays, not high percentage plays, mind you,
right,
if you were pinpoint accurate. As a defender, you're almost daring a quarterback will throw a 50-50 ball because
sure,
you think you're going to go get it. But when Joe Burrow throws it, it's in the right place at the right time to the right guy. It's just so, so hard to defend.
So LSU start out that game offensively, a couple of three and outs, three consecutive punts, and then finally got it. You're right, Luke. Just that big play. Eventually they got it going and the dam was broken. That last drive at the end of the half as well. You had a PI against Clemson on 3rd and 19. Burrow runs for 29 on 3rd down and 10. And that really didn't determine the game. It certainly went a long way in the outcome. You know how this business works, guys. I mean, once the confetti falls, it's time for context, and LSU is already being discussed as having one of the greatest seasons of all time. Look at the AP numbers. They won 7 games against AP top 10 opponents. That's the most in a season. They also became the first team in AP poll history to beat each of the preseason AP top 4 teams in a single season. So, Lugs, we'll start with you. Did we just witness the greatest season of all time?
You know, not having a lot of time to sit back and reflect before I answer this question, my initial thought is yes. And here's why. I think that when you're a part of a championship level team, there's a lot of different ingredients to go in to winning a national championship or a world championship. You got to have great players, okay? You got to play error free. Yes, you do have to have luck. Luck is part of the game of football and how the ball bounces. You have to have some of that. But to do it in the fashion that LSU has done it, in the sense that they never had an off night. Nobody has their A game every single weekend, and these guys did. I mean, you just kept waiting at some point or another. Is Joe Burrow going to have a three-pick performance? No, he didn't. And I think that with that in mind, everything needed to happen, and it happened, and it all happened at once. The stars aligned, whether it's chemistry in the locker room, coaching decisions, coaching hires, the right players at the right spots, and then the execution to be as flawless as it has been for as many sustained weeks, I think that puts them in a category that is unique to them. And right now, in recent memory, only them.
Agreed. LSU and this team we just witnessed, they are the best team of this generation. Now, there is some selection bias. The playoffs exist now. Yeah. You have a better chance to beat better ranked teams. That's something that can only occur now. Think about the NBA. It's easier to score more points now that a 3-point shot exists. So there is some selection bias. However, when you think about what LSU did, beating the preseason top four teams, and you beat three of them in back-to-back-to-back weeks, that's something that's unheralded. That's something that's unprecedented. So you have to give respect and you have to give praise where it is due. I think they're the best team in our generation. Yes, there is selection bias, but that doesn't take anything away from what LSU accomplished, and I'm not sure if and when we see it again.
Well, I'll tell you another thing, too, guys, is staying healthy. I mean, you had the injury to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was dinged up late. But to have that two-deep roster essentially go through the entire season and remain intact, that's huge. I don't know if you can put that into context of how important that really is.
Arguably the best team of all time in terms of seasons, inarguably one of the great stories of all time. We'll get to Joe Burrow in just a minute. But Cole Kubelik, our colleague here at ESPN, had this tweet sent out late last night about what LSU accomplished. Look at this. LSU's opponents, the opponents that they beat, won the ACC, the Big 12. So let's go through this. That's Clemson. That's Oklahoma. The SEC. That's Georgia. The Orange Bowl. That's Florida. The Fiesta. That's Clemson again. The Sugar Bowl. That's Georgia. The Citrus. Alabama. You go down through the list, and he says seven were ranked in the top 10 when they played. So the numbers certainly do not lie there. There's another number that LSU put up, 726 points. That's the most in a season in the AP poll era. And many of those points attributed to the right arm and the two legs of Joe Burrow, quarterback for LSU, that became the first Heisman Trophy winning quarterback to win the national championship in the college football playoff era. He's essentially a human cheat code. Monday night, he beat the game of college football, responsible for six touchdowns, more than 500 total yards, finishes the season with an FBS record, 60 touchdown passes, SEC record, 5,600 passing yards, wins the Heisman, wins the national title. We talked about one of the greatest team seasons of all time. Emmanuel, did we just witness the greatest individual season in the history of college football?
Absolutely. And now I'm not going to say that Joe Burrow's the greatest college football player of all time. Let's understand there's a difference. But we did just witness the greatest season by a college football quarterback of all time. And again, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Joe Burrow, 60 touchdown passes, that's tops. 65 touchdowns responsible for, that's tops. Second all-time in completion percentage, that is tops. That's top two. So when you're talking about the greatest, that's something that can't be debated based on opinion, because the numbers, they say Joe Burrow was the greatest. Not going to say that he was the best, but he was for sure, bar none, the greatest.
If you base this off of just sheer production only, I don't care if you're talking about LSU or the players around him, he is undoubtedly the greatest college quarterback from a production standpoint that we have seen. And I want to go back to the accuracy point, and Emmanuel, you and I were talking about this earlier, is this isn't a dink and dunk offense. They're not throwing bubble screens where 70% of their throws are within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. They are throwing the ball downfield. They are taking shots. They are creating opportunities that are generally low percentage throws. I think that's what magnifies his completion percentage even more so, is this isn't an air raid, dink and dunk, you know, just dump it off type of offense. He has to work progressions. He's got to get from point A to point B to point C, and he's got to make difficult throws when doing it. I think that's what separates him from any other performance in college football history at the quarterback spot.
60 passing touchdowns for Joe Burrow this season. In the previous four seasons combined, LSU had 59 passing touchdowns. So Joe Burrow is terrific this season. The coach who took a chance on him, Ed Orgeron, sat down with Reese Davis this morning.
How will you feel about this when you start to put a little perspective on what your team did, the top 10 wins, the record set, the trophies won, the team you beat in the championship game? When you try to put it in perspective, how do you?
You know, I think as time goes on, this team will be known as one of the greatest teams to ever play college football. And one of the greatest players to ever play college football, Joe Burrow. Those things were too far-fetched for us to think about even. Our focus was beating Clemson, a very good football team. Now we'll have time to reflect on that, but I think those are the things I'm going to think about.
Take a look at this and tell me what you think. Louisiana State University National Championship.
You know, that's for everybody. And, you know, when you come to LSU, that's the expectation. I said that they always hired. We understand the expectation that we invited because we have the same expectation of myself and our staff. And we reached it. I'm so proud. But you know what? It wouldn't be done without great players, and we have some great players on this football team.
Just like Dabo Swinney did when he won his first title with Clemson, goes from a one-time interim coach to a national championship coach. Lukes, how would you describe the impact Ed Orgeron has had at LSU?
Obviously significant when you consider all of the doubters and the questions surrounding the hire initially. I think the one thing that we've got to acknowledge and we've got to praise Ed Orgeron for is being able to look back on the Ole Miss experience and really, really dissect what he didn't do right, whether that was hiring practices, whether that was being involved in an area where he didn't need to be involved in, maybe trying to coach everything. That probably is more impactful than anything else, is it's about people. It's about players, as Coach O just acknowledged, but it's really about people when you're talking about the right pieces of the puzzle needing to be in place to create the culture and the environment that you have to be able to pursue a championship and ultimately win one.
Yeah, Coach O, to me, legendary. That's the one word I would use to describe him. When you're getting recruited as a high school kid, a coach will come in, sit down with you, your parents, sit in your living room. He'll promise you'll graduate, get a degree. Yeah. Win championships, win national championships, and maybe even win individual awards. Usually that coach is lying, I'll be honest, because a lot of those things you don't do. Coach O, he achieved and accomplished each and every one of those things. Trophies have been handed to Coach O. Statues will likely be built of Coach O and some players potentially on this team. What we saw, what we witnessed, it was legendary. It's something that's iconic and will go down in history, not just in Baton Rouge, but in college football.
Back in 2007, when LSU won its last national championship, Ed Orgeron was finishing up his final season at Ole Miss. They went 3-9 there in Oxford. 12 years later, here he is, 15-0 and a national champ, and number one in the final AP poll released today. Oregon in the top five for the first time since 2014. Alabama sitting at eighth, the Crimson Tide's worst finish since 2010. That's called first world problems. Clemson finishes in the top five for the fifth straight season, but it wasn't the finish they hoped for. What went wrong for Clemson, and what to make of the performance of Trevor Lawrence?
Now playing on ESPN. Saturday, it's a heavyweight college basketball matchup, followed by Lakers Rockets in primetime. And at 10, it's the return of Conor McGregor to the UFC.
Tigers versus the Tigers for the title. Burrow going to launch downfield. Touchdown, LSU! Burrow looking to run. Scores!
He does not lack confidence.
I won that Heisman. Now it's time to fit me for that ring.
LSU and quarterback Joe Burrow thoroughly dominating Clemson in the second half of that national championship game. A Clemson team that saw its 29-game win streak come to an end, along with its quest for its third national championship in a four-year span. Emmanuel, what went wrong for Clemson last night?
It's very simple. Trevor Lawrence chose a bad game to have a bad game. That's what it comes down to. I mean, he got outperformed. He wasn't the best quarterback on the field. Clemson needed Trevor Lawrence to outplay and outduel Joe Burrow, and he just didn't. Trevor Lawrence is a phenomenal quarterback. Trevor Lawrence will be a phenomenal quarterback, and he has been since he stepped in the ball. But 13 overthrows in the biggest game now to this point of your life, it's just inexcusable in a game at that stage. Again, Trevor Lawrence is a straight baller. We know that. But last night just was not his night.
You know, we talked about teams not having their A game every single week, and this was one of those nights where Clemson didn't play their best football game. They made more errors than LSU did. And then again, going back to those explosive plays on defense, you're not going to survive that versus LSU with their explosive firepower. I think the one thing that we do have to acknowledge just from some perspective here is, all right, this doesn't mean that all of a sudden Clemson next fall is going to lose their opener. They won 29 games in a row or 30 games in a row. The sky is not falling in Clemson. The sun rose this morning. But it's on the same side of that, this is a very special LSU team. There's no guarantee that they're going to go win their next 15 in a row. This is a reflection of what happened on Monday night. And they weren't the better team. And that's pretty much as simple as you can put it.
Lugs, let me follow up on that, because LSU was the better team, not just last night, in general, all season. Yeah. LSU was a better football team from top to bottom than Clemson is. So what that means, Clemson was going to have to play perfect. They were going to have to play out of their mind, or at least hope that LSU played bad. Since LSU didn't play bad, Clemson was going to have to rise to the occasion, and they just didn't. So it's not as if these were two evenly matched teams and LSU outperformed them. No, LSU was a better team. Clemson had to play their best, and they didn't. And that's really the simplest way to look at it all.
We saw a Clemson team get away with its C game and beat Ohio State, and they had a couple of things go their way. Those things did not go their way last night, and they played roughly around their C game, especially in that second half. They were going to need an A-plus game to beat LSU. Do want to mention, Trevor Lawrence had thrown a touchdown pass in 24 consecutive games. That was the longest active streak. I want to ask you this, because I just mentioned Ohio State and Clemson. You couldn't help but watch that game last night and the margin at the end and wonder what that game would have looked like had Ohio State somehow, some way, taken care of Clemson. How would that game have looked, do you think, Lukes, last night?
Probably fairly similar. I still think LSU would have pulled away, whether it would have been in the second quarter or the fourth quarter. Maybe you could look at Ohio State as maybe being able to hold up front a little bit better defensively. The corners at Ohio State, the big physical corners, might have been a better matchup for the targets that LSU presented. But, boy, that is a question loaded with what-ifs right there. And, you know, if is the biggest word in sports, right? I mean, that's if this happened, if that happened. Reality is it didn't.
Yeah. Hindsight is 20/20. And so it's easy now to say that, man, those Clemson corners, they didn't have a chance against those LSU receivers.
Yeah.
I thought the Clemson corners going into the game would play better than they did. Now, what we do know, Ohio State has the best cornerback in college football in Jeff Okuda. On the other side, Ohio State also has another beast, Damon Arnette. So I do think unequivocally, and I wholeheartedly believe, Ohio State's corners could have held up better than Clemson's cornerbacks did. Not to say they wouldn't have been vulnerable in other areas, but on the outside at corner versus receiver, Ohio State would have held up better just because they have better players at those specific positions.
Something tells me that those two teams might be able to settle it on the field coming up next year. Ohio State.
Well, they're not going anywhere.
Clemson, they're not. They're going to see kind of these same teams again up for the top prize again next year, according to Caesars. Clemson 2-1 odds to win the national title. The national title wasn't the only thing the SEC won last night. Take a look at the final Progressive Bowl Challenge Cup standings. The league won 8 of its 10 bowl games to claim the Bowl Challenge Cup. Clemson's loss knocked the ACC down to 9th with a 4-7 mark this bowl season. Up next, the LSU win wasn't the only news of the night. Washington State tabs a replacement for Mike Leach, and a star running back decides to return to the college game. Our Super Tuesday doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app features two of the top six teams in the nation. Number three Duke and high-flying Cassius Stanley take on Clemson at Little John Coliseum, 7 Eastern. The number six Kansas squares off against Oklahoma in Norman. Now the Pirate left Pullman, so the Cougars pluck a coach from paradise. Nick Rolovich leaves Hawaii after 4 years and three bowl wins to become the head coach at Washington State. Luge, you like the move?
I do like the move, and I like how he resurrected the program. You know, 8-5 in 2018, 10-5 this past season. And you think the ball was in the air a lot under Mike Leach. The ball's going to be in the air an awful lot under Nick Rolovich with some of his background with some run-and-shoot principles as well.
They won the West Division of the Mountain West this season. Hawaii ranked in the top five in conference in passing offense in all four of his seasons. Meanwhile, at Oklahoma State, the cupboard will not be bare in Stillwater. Running back Chuba Hubbard announced on Twitter Monday night he will return for his senior season. He led the nation in rushing with more than 2,000 yards. And after saying during the season he would return to Houston next year, De'Eriq King showing off more of his mobility by entering the transfer portal. The quarterback played 4 games for Dana Holgorsen this season before announcing he would redshirt and preserve a season of eligibility. That final season of eligibility is now reserved for another team. So, Manuel Acho, go to you on this. It was certainly a controversial decision when he announced he would sit out the rest of the year. Where do you think he'll play next year?
I think there are two options, right? You can look at a place like the University of Miami, which desperately needs a quarterback. Great defense, desperate for a quarterback. Or a sleeper, sneaky team. He could go to the SEC. Ole Miss, Jeff Lebby, the new offensive coordinator. He is a brother-in-law with Kendall Briles. Remember, De'Eriq King enjoyed all of his success under Kendall Briles at the University of Houston, where he accounted for 50 total touchdowns and would have been a Heisman finalist had he not gotten hurt, yeah, along with the likes of Kyler Murray. So keep your eye out for Ole Miss as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of destinations. I can tell you one that it's not going to be, and that's Oklahoma. Because there's no way Lincoln Riley can afford to keep doing that and keep recruiting high school kids to play quarterback in Norman.
That's right. Yeah, come on, high school kids. I'm going to go get another transfer here. There's no doubt, though, Joe Burrow's success will do nothing from dissuading other quarterbacks from doing this in the future. 4:30 Eastern, ESPN2. See you Wednesday.